When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is Playing Around with Paige Renee.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Playing Around. You have Paige and Amanda here, and it has been a wild last week for me. So it's so odd and weird to say, and I feel like so narcissistic when I say this, but Maxim made me the sexiest woman alive, which is like really, really cool. And so they announced that last week, and there was like a huge dinner for it. It's been awesome. So kind of how the whole thing came about is they reached out to me, and they were kind of looking tried to find me for a while. And we get a call and they're like, hey, so we want to do the shoot with you. We want to name her number one. And the shoot's like in 3 days. And I'm like, oh no, like, I know, you know, it's Maxim. I'm going to be like in probably bikinis and like probably less than that. And I'm like, I have no time to like get my body in shape, like get ready for this, or even time to like freak out over it. So we end up obviously doing it because it's an amazing opportunity, and did the shoot. Shoot was amazing. We shot in Miami. And then the next morning I had to head over to the Derek Jeter event in the Bahamas. I had double pink eye. So I told this story before, you know, when I was in the Bahamas, so I got double pink eye. And then when, you know, I was trying to post it, Instagram just like randomly started deleting them. So it's been like one really good thing, one kind of weird thing, good, weird. So it's just been like highs and lows of emotion. I think one thing that people don't prepare you for is that when they name you the sexiest woman alive, you have hundreds of thousands of people telling you why you shouldn't be the sexiest person alive. And so
fucking incels, man.
Oh my God. I mean, it's like such an exciting thing, but again, you don't expect, I don't agree. Think everyone should be like, oh my God, yeah, she's the sexiest woman. I don't even think that I am. So, you know, like I look at all these other amazing women. I'm like, how am I named this when Angelina Jolie like exists in this world? So, you know, you go through all of that. And so I'm already feeling a bit insecure about everything. And then you have, like I said, like thousands and thousands of people being like, you're ugly, you're fat, you're this, you're that, you're like all of these things. And it's like, yeah, okay. Like, am I? And so like,
no,
a couple days of feeling like these intense, like ups and downs of being really excited about this and wanting to be excited about this, but also having these emotions. So it's been good, but there's definitely been like days where I'm like, I need to put my phone down. I can't go online. And a lot of people are like, why aren't you tweeting about the US Open? I'm like, I cannot open social media right now. I mean, I respect them. They're keeping me humble, you know?
God, no, that never crossed my mind. Like, I saw you tweet something about like Paige Seabiscuit or something, and I fucking died. I was like, that's fucking hilarious, because you took that bullshit and you turned it around and you made something funny out of it. And I was like, I respect that. But I was so proud of you. Like, I didn't know about this. And I remember a few weeks ago, like, you've been MIA the last few weeks. And I'm like, where the fuck is Paige?
But now it's like, it all makes sense. Like, all of this happened to you so quickly. You had, what, 3 days to prepare? You looked incredible. Like, everything was amazing. Like, I'm so proud of you. Like, you know what you're doing and you own it and you, like, you just... you're good at what you do. And I admire you for that. And like, you deserve the maximum sexiest woman alive. You are like the sexiest woman alive. I told you, I was like, if you sign like a magazine for me, I'll be like 80 years old showing my friend, like, this was my friend. Like, look at that. Like, you know, like, that's so cool.
I mean, I really appreciate that. And I've been getting so much love and support, but there's just, like I said, there's a weird, like, back and forth on social media. And, you know, what I was noticing was happening is that people were having these discussions about, you know, what the definition of sexy is and, you know, wanting more diverse people to be included and, you know, all of these bigger discussions, which, you know, I definitely agree with, but it was at the expense of my own, you know, physical features. And so it was hard to just like remove myself and be like, okay, I know this is a personal attack, but it's not exactly on me. And so, you know, it's like feeling so high and then feeling so low and so high and so low. And so it's been just a lot. These are big steps and like milestones in my career and wanting to push forward. But it's like, you know, every single time something really good happens, something like this will also happen because it's just the nature of our industry.
Yeah.
You know, the way that the world is going, it's like people can just say whatever they want to say.
Yeah.
And it's like, is it hypocritical of me to then say things about different players online when I know the flip side of it? And then it's like, hey, you can't be a baby. You can't let it affect you.
Yeah.
This is just how it is. And it's like, is that okay? So it's all these like really interesting discussions that kind of go around how we interact on social media and what our industry is and what it's becoming.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting point because someone tweeted me, I tweeted the Grayson Murray club photo. We're going to talk about Grayson Murray later, but this is just about the tweet. And I think I said, Grayson Murray just threw his putter so far that it knocked Kevin Na off his couch in Vegas. Now, that's something that I would say like to Grace. And then I would say that to Kevin Na. Like those aren't like, to me, that's not a mean thing to say. That's just kind of joking about the situation. And someone commented and was like, see, you love to take these little digs at people, but you can't make digs if you are always playing the victim. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I'm not playing the victim. Like a lot of, you know, sometimes I'll just tell you guys like what the fuck is going on.
If I can say to someone's face, then I don't consider that, you know, bullying.
But I did want to say earlier, everyone that's talked to me about the Maxim thing has been so excited. Like everyone in my Twitch chat, my followers on Twitter, everyone's like, oh my gosh, how cool is it to work with Paige? Like, how excited are you for Paige? Isn't that awesome for Paige? Good for Paige. Like I've literally, the only like negative thing I saw was the retweet that you did with the horse thing. That was the only negative thing. And the thing was people are so positive about it. And that's like people in golf, right? That's like the core group of people that like really matter. I don't know. I feel like I notice more of that than like when new people come in and are mean to me. I notice like the core group that's always there supporting me.
For sure. For sure. And I've always said this too. You need 70% hate, 30% love to grow. Mm-hmm. So you need that. You need people who are sharing your content because they hate you. You need those hate followers. You need people who are tagging their friends because they don't like, it's like, that is so vital to our career, but at the same time, it's just a lot to take in. And you know, you just have to be really like, confident and like, comfortable in your skin to be able to survive, you know, what we do, because it's definitely really challenging. Like the highs and the lows, what I was saying before, but we got to talk about the US Open because it was an amazing tournament, truly an amazing tournament.
Paige, let me stop you right there. We think it was a truly amazing tournament because we didn't get to see any golf on the weekend. So we're not entirely sure if the golf was any good, but we could, you know, quote a Lexus or Cadillac commercial to you.
Seriously. It's just, they haven't found that sweet spot of, you know, where you were talking about the LIV last week, where it was just shot after shot after shot, and that's too much. And then now it's like, you don't really get to see many players. You know, they brought in Keegan Bradley on Sunday when he was on hole 16 and he was kind of in the mix for a little bit. And you're like, where's the coverage of other players? And I think we're so spoiled, especially with like the Masters. You know, they do such a good job across like their digital platforms to traditional, and it it's easy to follow. I agree. But I thought the course looked amazing.
It did.
Thought it played amazing. I think everyone was looking for tougher conditions on Sunday, but unfortunately they got rain the night before. But it was almost everything that we expect in a US Open. Tough conditions. The best players seemed to, you know, rise to the top. It came down, to the very last putt.
Yeah.
The very last putt for Zalatoris, and looked like there potentially could be a playoff. But Matthew Fitzpatrick, who I'm sure you are very, very excited about.
You know what? So Matt Fitz, like, I want to say I've been riding the Matt Fitz train for the last 2 years. I would say since like around COVID, I'm like, this kid is so close. Like, he's made me a lot of money, like top fives, top tens and stuff. He just hasn't quite gotten the win. And this week I was like, I don't always pick outrights because I find like that's kind of hard. Cause then I'm like, well, I don't want to, you know, waste all this money on that. So I put $5 on him outright. I want to say I got around 30-1. So I hit that. I put money on him for top 10. I hit that obviously. And then I hit Guido top 20, which I got at 12-1. And that was like the big, so the four bets that I was like promoting on Twitch were, like just my big bets that I really liked were Matt Fitz outright, Sam Burns outright. What's his face? Lucas Herbert outright. Cause he was like 200-1, but also like for top 20, he ended up missing the cut. So that sucked. But then Guido top 20. So Guido backdoored to that top 20 yesterday. Like, so that made me like $60. You know, I made a couple of hundred something on the other one. So I was like, hell yeah. Like I was a good week. You had Matt Fitz also for points bet. Like that was on your pitch, right?
Yeah. So I had him for outright, which I was a little on the fence about him because of what happened at the PGA. And then we were talking about in the
pod.
You convinced me. And so you get definitely credit for that pick. But when we were talking and you said that he won the USAM, I immediately was like, okay, he has a really good shot to win because having great memories on a golf course is one of the most important things to feeling comfortable and having success. And so when you mentioned that, I'm like, yeah, I'm all in on Fitzpatrick. So I have to admit that I picked Zalatoris.
Yeah, you did.
As an outright.
That was a great pick.
And it was because I had a feeling that after I went on that whole Zalatoris rant, that he was probably going to be like, fuck you, and end up winning. And so I'm like, I can't not pick him.
Right.
And I am going to retract what I said. And I know I went in on him, but I don't think he's overrated. I mean, if you look at his... Yeah. It's incredible.
I told you.
Like how he's been playing in the majors is...
He has so many runners up. He's the new Lee Westwood.
But it makes you think, it's like, okay, he has game. He can play. He's not overrated. But is he going to have this mental block?
Yes.
To get to that next level, to get that win, because he's having all of these opportunities, but he's not closing the deal. Mm-hmm. So is that, again, a knock on him in his mental, is it his mental game? Is it being down to the short putts? Like whatever it may be, he's not getting it done. And it doesn't seem like he's really learning from past experience, but he's not blowing it either. You know, he's like, he's in the mix. So it's really hard to kind of analyze, you know, how Zalatoris is playing and how he's going to move forward. Do you think he's going to break through, or is this just going to be like a Zalatoris major thing?
No. So here's the thing. I think that's great you brought that up, because I always think about that. I'm like, Zalatoris, every time that Will Zalatoris, it's kind of like a catch 22. Every time that he finishes runner up in a major, he's just earned himself experience. He just earned himself close to probably like $2 million. He's just, you know, he's just added, like he's like leveled up, right? He's leveled up in his like game. And but then at the same time, every time that he has a runner-up with major, is that going to add to scar tissue? Is that going to be a mental block? Is he going to remember the short putts that he missed, or, you know, that kind of stuff? Is it going to add up and be mental with him? And that's the thing with Matt Fitzpatrick. Like, he hadn't been in that close of a mix that many times before. I mean, he had been around and had been more like backdoor top tens, top fives and majors, I feel like. But like Matt Fitz, I feel like he just learned from that experience at the PGA championship.
Was massive.
Yeah. And the thing was, and I don't know necessarily that Zalatoris has had a learning experience, because it's not like there's nothing else he could have done. I mean, if he maybe hit his shot a little bit closer on 18, he could have got himself in the playoff. But the thing was,
everyone was making birdies and then making bogeys and then needing to make more birdies. Like, that's how everyone was playing. That's how Scheffler was playing. That's how he was playing. That's how Fitz was playing. He didn't do any, like, he didn't lose it. He just got outplayed. And the thing is, it's like, and I think that's going to be kind of an issue for Will Zalatoris, is because there are I guess he kind of lost it in the playoff against Justin Thomas, but Justin Thomas also kind of came out guns blazing.
But not really, though.
He hasn't choked it away.
No. And even at the final round, there were many opportunities where he was hitting his drives a little wayward. He was scrambling for amazing bogeys, making some clutch par putts. And so again, it's not like he's throwing it away, but why is he not getting to that next level? And it's like, we see him show up in the majors. Great. He's not winning week to week on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
So there's just something there that he can't break through. And maybe once he does, then it will be, you know, great for him. But again, it's not like he's top 10, top fives. They are runner up finishes.
Yeah.
Being like down to the stretch, having an opportunity to get it done and doesn't pull through. So I don't think that he's overrated, but I'm not fully bought into, you know, the Zalatoris fan club yet. But he really, how he handled that loss, which I think out of all of them so far was probably the hardest, because he was the closest to, like, he had that putt on 18 to force a playoff.
That's what
he was right into it to the very end. And to see the way he handled himself and went going straight up to Matthew Fitzpatrick's dad saying, you know, if I had to lose to anyone, I'm happy that it was your son. He's just a class act. And I guess I didn't really see much of that side of him or that personality. And so it was refreshing to see more interviews with him, to hear him talking, to see him interacting, to showing more emotions. And that's what I really love in a player, is someone who shows personality. And I think the reason I didn't like him too much before is he felt overhyped to me because I didn't know him. I didn't know anything about him.
You know,
it's like he did well in the majors, but where's like the storyline around him? There was nothing about like him as a person. And so I had a hard time really just connecting to him. And I think this was a really great tournament for that, for people to see a little bit more about him and, you know, his character, which is, you know, really important. So I think he will break through, but I don't, you know, I just don't know when.
Yeah, it's funny. I agree. But it's funny you say, I just didn't know him, because he was being interviewed by Mike Tirico on, I guess it was Saturday night. And I walked into the other room to ask my dad a question. And he just goes, I've never heard Zalatoris talk before. Like, I just want to listen to what he has to say. And I was like, all right. So I get that. It's like, I think it's one, it's just getting to know him. Two, he's like kind of shot to the stardom so quickly. And like, you know, Scottie Scheffler came up on the web.com tour, was player of the year and stuff, and, you know, fought through it last 3-4 years on PGA Tour, and it's finally winning. Like, Will Zalatoris has only been around for like a year, year and a half. And, you know, he played great on the web.com tour before, or Korn Ferry Tour before making it to the PGA Tour. But like, it wasn't like he was out there for years and years, like years grind. Like, it was just, he is so talented. And I wonder if the just being like naturally talented. And I don't know if he's just not like, if there isn't something in him that just kind of like from deep down that just hits that clutch shot that you have to hit at the time. You know what I'm talking about? Like, when you're just, your back is up against a wall and you need to hit it under a tree, over a creek to the green, just to make that USGA event, right? To qualify. And I remember I did that once and I went under a tree, over a creek. And I, you know, I made like a 10-foot putt to qualify for a big event. And like, there's just that, I might not have been the most talented player there, but it was like I was able to hit the shots when it really mattered most. And we just haven't seen that as much from Zalatoris. And I'm not comparing myself to Will, and I'm not saying I'm more talented than him. I'm just saying, like, as a comparison, like, it's one of those things where it's, you need him to start, like, that
the
shot
it factor.
Yes. And that's what Fitz did on 18.
Exactly. This it factor that pulls them through. And I was just going to say that as soon as Fitzpatrick, which, why did he hit a 3-wood off 18?
I don't know. He should just hit an iron.
Hit an iron or hit a driver. He put that bunker right into play, which was just really shocking because he has such an experienced caddy.
That's his worst shot too, is the fairway bunkers.
It just, it did not make sense. And so as soon as he hit in that bunker, I was like, he's probably going to make a bogey. He's probably gonna make a bogey. But he hit that clutch shot.
That sound.
And that is massive. And you see these really amazing players who have that it factor, who can pull it off when it matters. And then you see other players, potentially like a Zalatoris, who they're not doing anything wrong, but they're not doing anything spectacular either. That is that amazing shot, that game changer, that momentum shifter. He just is, was just kind of there and keeping in it and grinding. And he's a grinder, but, and I think that's why he plays so well in majors, because he can grind his way through a round of golf. But where are these like amazing shots that you remember?
He needed to hit it to 4 feet on, like he really needed to come up clutch and match Fitz's shot on 18. Exactly. And he didn't, hit a bad shot by any means. And he, you know, he burned the edge with the putt, but he didn't leave himself. Like he was above the hole. It was 15, 20 feet. Like he could have just hit it a little bit closer. 7 feet is what, whatever he likes, 7 feet. Like that would have been better, but he just didn't do it. And I think there will be a tournament or a major very soon where he does. Like St. Andrews sets up great for him. Like those greens are good for him.
Yeah. I'm thinking back through the round. There were plenty of opportunities that Fitz left the door wide open. A couple bad wedge shots, a couple short missed putts. You know, he wasn't really, you know, pulling away. No one was really pulling away. But Zalatoris actually had an opportunity to kind of pull away through this stretch. And when I say that he was clutch making pars. It wasn't like he was, you know, really stuffing it, making these birdies. So, and then Scottie Scheffler in the mix again. I mean, it's just
who would have thought? Not me.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of these same guys are just really starting to emerge as the best players in the world. And
Rahm too was there.
Rahm too.
I was a little surprised. So Rahm, I was a bit surprised by kind of falling out of the mix on Sunday. I was a bit surprised by that, but I was also very surprised by Colin Morikawa falling out of it on Saturday. I thought it was going to be a Scheffler Morikawa kind of race to the end. Like, you know, so I was a bit surprised by that. Were you at all? Like, who did you think was going to run away with it looking at the leaderboard on Saturday? Cause it was just a strong Saturday.
I mean, Colin, he seemed like he was playing the best. He really doesn't play well in windy conditions.
That is true.
If there's any wind, he seems to really struggle with that. So it's surprising, but it's not surprising at the same time. He bounced back, had a really great Sunday round. But that, I think that's what makes the US Open so special, is that you never really know what's going to happen. And even through that final 18 with all the players, Rory on 16, 17, 18, almost looked like he was going to give a mini run again. And so again, like that's what I love about it. And challenging golf course is that, you know, it was going back between bogeys and birdies and bogeys and birdies. And I had no idea. I truly had no idea. I mean, even up to the very last shot, I was like, I don't know what's going to happen. So it was a really fun tournament to watch.
It was. And I think like the result was just as like heartwarming and amazing. Like the result matched the, like the excitement of the tournament. Now, sometimes, you know, you get winners that you're like, oh yeah, no, that's great for them. But it, you just don't, like, this was Billy Foster's first win as a caddy. He's been on Sebi's bag. He's been on Darren Clark's bag. I think he caddied for Tiger at a President's Cup. Like he's been on so many amazing bags and he had never won a major with someone. So he got that. Matt Fitz is someone's been knocking at the door. He won it staying in the same room at the Fulton's house that he won the USAM, like same room, just different trophy. And like, I just, that is just such a feel good win. Like it would have been just as exciting. Like, don't get me wrong, it would have been just as exciting if Will Zalatoris had finally done that. But it was just, it was like the lore behind it with Fitz this week. It was just like the perfect case. Like it just, it was, if anyone,
well, they didn't so let happy. You forget it either too. I mean, they would mention,
they
it
did mention that
seconds.
A lot. Yeah, they did. They did mention that a lot, but it was, I mean, it was exciting. Like, I feel like if Scottie Scheffler had won, I probably wouldn't have been as excited. Like it would have been one of those things where you're just kind of in amazement, but you're not like, I'm so happy for him. Like, I'm just like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like how he had all that hype going into the Masters and then he won the Masters and you're like, this is so exciting. Like if he had won the US Open, I would have been like, yeah, that's great. But like, I really wanted Zalatoris to win.
Yeah. It was Matty Fitz's week and he's an amazing champion. And it was, well, very well deserved.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK. You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com.
easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Okay, I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
If you're 21 years old and use nicotine or tobacco, I'm here to tell you about Black Buffalo and how it's redefining tradition for millions of adult consumers. So if you're over 21, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults aged 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco.
We were mentioning earlier that Grace Murray made headlines on Sunday for full-on tomahawk his putter and breaking his club over his knee. It was intense. I have never seen such an aggressive club throw on the golf course before. And I love myself a good club throw, but even I was like, that like a little, like maybe a little, but at the same time, I love watching fighting in hockey. Like I love watching like the massive celebrations. Like I love the highs and lows and players being really emotional. That's something that I think makes sports so special is when you see that come out. So I wasn't on the hate train when it came to Bryson Murray, but my brain is literally like mush right
Bryson
now.
Murray.
I was thinking, I don't even know why Bryson, I understand.
We're fine.
Oh God.
Something about fighting.
And it's funny because he gets a lot of hate on social media, sometimes for good reason. He says things that are just outrageous, like outrageous, just completely off the wall. and he even retweeted the video and was like, yep, I put my heart on my sleeve and that's just how I like to play golf. And I kind of like that he owns it.
I mean, okay. So that tweet, when I looked like an hour before recording this, it had like 8,500 likes and all these people were like, yeah, good for you, man. And I was like, no, dude, you can't justify that. You say, I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have done that. Like I need to be better about myself, especially someone that's like supposedly bettering himself. And I've heard different reports of him doing the stuff that he was living in South Florida to not do anymore. So I think he really needs help. And I don't know, like Monday Q tweeted a text from someone to Monday Q that said, I get on like the first tee at the, or the range or something at the Monday for travelers. And there's Grayson goes, did you guys see my videos? Like, that's the first thing he says. And it's like, dude, like calm down. Like you should not be like, yeah. Like if I were Grayson Murray's club company, or if I were like the PGA Tour or the USGA, I'm surprised the USGA doesn't ban him from playing in like anything. Like that was aggressive. Like, first of all, he didn't even apologize for it. But then, and did you see like the volunteer like had to cover his head and stuff? Like, I don't know, man. Grayson Murray just, I don't know.
You're definitely more traditional when it comes to like your views of how you want to see golf. And I think that more people are aligned with you on that. But I think when it comes to someone like a Grayson Murray, that he is everything that I want in a villain. And I think that you need players like Grayson who push the envelope, right or wrong. It gives us something to talk about because you don't want everyone to be robots out there. And especially with, you know, some of the guys going over to another tour, we're going to miss having that conflict, that back and forth. Like you need people like a Brooks and a Patrick Reed and a Bryson and a Grayson to mix it up and to do things that are different. Because again, it's like, I love Colin Morikawa and Will Zalatoris and all these guys, but they're sometimes you want more. Like, I want more from them, like something. And maybe give me a club throw. Maybe not that aggressive,
yeah,
but give me a little bit of a club throw. Give me some cussing. Give me something, something. Because we all know how hard golf is and how it just makes you so incredibly mad. And Rahm is a good example. Yeah.
Rahm's a good example.
He gets so much hate for it, though. He gets more hate than anyone else when it comes to that stuff.
But see, and he shouldn't, because he doesn't, like, break clubs. He doesn't verbally abuse his caddy. Like, he gets really mad about stuff, but he's, like, yelling at himself, and then he gets over it. Like, I don't, like, I think that's a good, like, you know, you saying, like, I want them to kind of be more passionate and see more personality out, but I feel like Rahm is a good kind of thing, because it definitely pushes the edge of getting angry, but it's not, like, disrespecting the course or you're playing competitors too much or the volunteers.
And I think if you're going to break a club, I liked that he did the snap over the leg. I think that one is good. Like, if you're going to do it that way, because you're right. You're not damaging the golf course. You're not throwing it where you could hurt someone. It's just like a quick little snap of the club. And like, that's it. What's so wrong with that?
Yeah, it was. So you prefer the knee slap or the knee snap over the neck snap that Thomas Peters did in Europe a few years ago? Did you ever see the video where he takes the club? He like puts it behind his neck,
yeah,
kind of cranes his neck back, and then slowly you just see the glove just break into two.
Yeah, that was clean too. Or like a Tyrrell Hatton. I love Tyrrell. I love him. And I just want to see more. I don't want everyone to look like that, but you do need some guys who are going to. And I like the fact that Grayson owns up to it. Again, right or wrong, he's like, this is what I'm doing and I'm sticking to it. Even when he was going after Kevin Na, he was full on like leaning into it. And it's funny, you know, he's not trying to deflect from any situations, which again, gets him in trouble. But for us as the viewers and people following him, it is interesting. And I have a bit of a soft spot in my heart for Grayson, because the face you just made when I said that.
Did you see my knee come up? My foot was I'm sitting crisscross with a blanket over my legs right now, and my foot fell asleep under my leg. So I was trying. I was like physically picking up my leg to get back up. It wasn't about Bryson. It was the timing. No, but I do have a soft spot too. I mean, I have my own issues, and I know Bryson. I know. I need to stop hitting the mic. And I need to stop calling him Bryson. Grayson has, you know, I believe he's like bipolar or something. And I do, I have a soft spot for that. But then at the same time, when it's like, sometimes like you might need to talk to a professional. Like that's kind of when, that's the thing I deal with. And I talk to a professional and people are like, do you, I'm like, yes, I am. I'm working on myself. Thank you. And I just see that in him. And I do, like, I don't think he's a bad person, but I just think he needs help to be the best he can be.
Yeah. I grew up playing junior golf with him, and he was always so incredibly kind and so sweet to everyone. Yeah. He was just like really, really nice to me.
Really?
And,
that's awesome.
Like I said, we're all going through our stuff, but I like the fact that he leans into it. We need a villain on tour. I think that's really important. And if he wants to be that person, then great. You know, if it makes him happy, then it's good entertainment. And I think we need more of that, because again, I don't want to see just all these like nice guys on tour. That's really boring. Like, I don't want that.
Yeah. But like, it upsets me almost, because it's like, I see some of the behavior in Grace. I hate you. Okay. I'm done. We're done. Bye. Bye. Have fun. We're done.
Well, one thing you don't want to do with your clubs is throw your new club champion clubs. Mm-hmm.
Don't throw them. If you're looking for new clubs, guys, Grace and Murray might be looking for new clubs. Paige, where
should
you
go to club champion? Because you can get fit for any brand and they have the most amazing services. You feel like a tour pro when you're at club champion. You can try any single brand. They have all these shafts. It is literally like paradise for any golfer. So you can gift it to yourself, to a family member, to a significant other, whoever it may be. You want to experience it all at Club Champion, and you can use code PAIGE, as PAIGE, for 20% off. Go get your new clubs from Club Champion and don't throw them.
Don't throw them. But yeah. So like I was saying, that's just sometimes how I feel, where it's like, just work on it a little bit. And like, cause I don't think he's a bad person. I think he's a fucked up person like me. And just, I want to see him. And I feel like sometimes when I get upset about stuff like that, it's like, I feel like I'm looking at myself and I'm angry at myself. So anytime, like, I might say some shit about Grace and Murray, it's not even me like talking about him. It's almost me looking at behavior that I may have exhibited in the past, or that I would want to exhibit currently. And it's like, I just see a lot of myself in that, if that makes sense.
I mean, I appreciate what you're saying. And I also appreciate Grayson's honesty. I think that is really important, that he is very vocal about things that he has been through and wanting to share that with everyone. And I hope he keeps throwing clubs. I really hope he does. But we have the last major of the year, the Open, coming up. And Tiger, he's been pictured practicing out on a golf course. He looks good. And I think it's going to be a great way to kind of wrap up this incredible major season so far.
Yeah. Yeah. I think going from Brookline and then going over to St. Andrews, like, these are just such like revered courses in golf lore and in the game and everything. And it's like, Southern Hills was great, but minus Southern Hills, it's been a good major season, you know, because we have the, you know, Matt Augusta and then Brookline and whatever. I mean, Southern Hills was great, but I'm just saying, like, you look at those three courses and it's like, this was a great fucking major season. I mean, obviously Augusta's always there, but yeah, I think we've got like 25 days, 24 days by the time this gets posted. So I don't know. I think Tiger definitely has a good shot there if he can just be healthy enough. And I think Bozal Torres too, that might be his week.
Do you think that the RNA is going to allow the LIV players to compete?
That's a great question. I have no idea. I feel like the USGA set a precedent that said, like, you can play. So I feel like they kind of have to follow that. Now, it'll be interesting because the DP World Tour and PGA Tour co-sanctioned Scottish Open event, LIV golfers are no longer welcome. So that doesn't surprise me, obviously, with the being the PGA Tour and DP World Tours. I think DP World Tour, if they'd be smart to not ban them, because then they get DJ membership when this falls through. They get, you know what I mean? They get a lot of big players over there. So I don't know. I think they should be okay to play. I can't imagine the RNA is going to say no to that, but what do you think?
I think they'll allow it. I think that, like you said, the USGA set a precedent, and I think that the RNA will follow, at least for this year. I think they're going to have to work out the world rankings and the points and how everything works to see if these guys can even qualify for the next major season. But I do think they'll allow at least for this year, because it's still so new. But it was interesting to see how the LIV players competed this week at the US Open. And the closest person was DJ, who still didn't really show up. I mean, Phil like played terribly. His press conference was truly, truly horrendous. I mean, he looked so incredibly uncomfortable. He was like visibly almost like shaking. Like he didn't seem like himself. Like he didn't want to answer any of the questions. I thought Brooks's response was very interesting, where he basically said, "Stop asking us about this. And you're basically like a dark cloud over the US Open," which kind of makes me think that he might be jumping ship.
He's going. Yeah. That's the thing. Like, how long have I been saying that though? I said, wherever Chase Koepka goes, there's Brooks collecting a check right fucking behind him. So there's just no, like, I just can't imagine he's not going. But did you hear the rumor that Abraham Answer
is going?
Like, that blew my mind. Okay. So it is official. So he, like, that upsets me and blows my mind, because I love Abe. I think he is such a decent, wonderful human being, and not that people who go to LIV aren't decent, nice people, but it's like, I thought Abe would really want to play for legacy, you know, not money. Like, I don't know.
I was a little surprised with that one. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Brooks will go over, but they're starting to get more and more players, and it's going to be interesting how it all plays out. But how can you continue to compete against the best when you don't have as many opportunities to compete? I mean, it's so important to get tournament practice and to prepare your game. Maybe not for Brooks. I feel like he's the exception with that one. But you need to like knock off the rust to play, and there's very few players who can't play much. And so it'll be interesting the next couple seasons to see how they play playing such a limited schedule compared to the guys who have, you know, are competing against the world's best week in, week out.
No, I agree. And that's the thing too. It's like, I don't know. We haven't seen like great golf from it. Obviously there's still potential for more and more, you know, really good players to go, but I don't, you know, who's really confusing me is Xander. Like, he won't just shut the door on it. Like, his answers are really roundabout. They make you think he's saying no, but then you read it again, you're like, maybe he's not saying no. So, I mean, maybe these guys just are think for some weird entitlement reason that they deserve to have a major before the age of 30. And it gives them a right to just jump ship and go make more money somewhere else. Like, I don't know. Like, it doesn't entirely make sense. Like, the thought process behind Abe going, or I guess he's like 31, but like Abe going, or potentially
it
Xander
wouldn't make
going.
Zero
like,
it's just sense weird. For Xander to go. I can see it if that's you're like thing. At the tail end of your career, you've played a lot on the right. PGA Tour, and you have a family that you want to spend time yeah. with because it's such a limited schedule. Or if you just fucking hate golf and you don't want to play all of these tournaments, like that makes sense to yeah. me. But Xander is like in the prime of his career. He is, right. you know, newly married. They don't have any kids. It's like he doesn't need to be.
Right.
You know, he can be on the road for multiple weeks. She can travel with him. They're doing just fine with money. Wouldn't he want to rack yeah. up the wins? And like you said, build his legacy before potentially going over. I mean, yeah. it does make sense for DJ to do it. Like it, for certain players, it just makes sense for them. It does not make sense for Abe. Yeah.
Like Adam Scott
yeah.
would make sense because then he could move back to Australia and live in Australia full time and only play 8 events a year. Like that would make sense. And I know he was one of the guys that was really interested in that early on. Now, I think after getting the rejection letter from the Liv thing or saying like, you're not allowed to go play, I think that probably may have yeah. changed his mind a little bit. We'll see. But like that, I kind of get like, I get certain people doing it because it's like, yeah, you know, I don't want to do this forever. And Adam Scott's always played a limited schedule. Like, you know, and that would make sense for someone like Tiger. If Tiger wanted to go like, you know, 5 years ago before the recent injuries, but I don't know. It just, and like even Tiger said though. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. I'm going to try to go to the one of the events and see kind of what's going on around there.
So where's we'll the next one?
The next one's in Portland.
Okay.
I think it's Pumpkin Ridge. And then I believe the one after that in July is in New Jersey. So yep. I'm going to try to go to the one in New Jersey and just kind of see what's up. And I don't know. I guess by then there'll be some more top players, but I don't know.
Your mission is to get a selfie with Greg Norman. In New Jersey. That is your mission.
I just want to see what's up.
Yeah, like, it's like a no win.
Curiosity.
Like, even if you talk about it, don't talk about it. I mean, you're just kind of in a really tough position. So like yeah. actually attending an event, I don't know if I would even want to. Like I get
that's
enough
fair.
Hate and stuff. I'm like, I just don't know if I even want to like fair. Deal with that on both sides, So
yeah, and I see, I get that. See, my thing is I'm like just so curious. Like I, yeah. you know, if I go, I'm going to, you know, use a promo code for someone to give me free tickets. Cause you know, they're going to have to like give tickets away. I just want to see what's up. Like, I just kind of want to see, it's like, it's just the facade. I want to see the kind of fakery.
How it actually is. Yeah.
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, like it's you'll curiosity. Have to keep us updated on that. And like I said, you have a mission and you must complete it.
Greg would be like, Greg would kick me out. He would pull like I was going to say Adam Sandler, an Alan Shipnuck on me and like, be like, bye.
Oh, he would do it. Like, you're a pretty girl. He feel like he'd be like, okay.
But I feel like he probably has like a dartboard of people that he hates, like in one of his offices. And you and I are probably in there.
He still he follows me.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I'll just check if he unfollowed me. But yeah, he's been following me for like a while.
That's so funny. He mm-hmm. must have liked your hammerhead comment, your hammerhead tweet.
Yeah. yeah. That's yeah, still,
okay, then
still
I'm probably on the dartboard. See, that's so weird. I'm not blocked by Phil. Like, still, to this day, I'm not blocked by Phil.
You should see how far you can take it before you get blocked.
You know what? I should. So, speaking of which, I knew his old pilot before he sold his plane, and they were
doing an event near where I live, and his pilot, who I'm, you know, buddies with him and some of the other guys in Golf Media, they're all friends with him. And he was like, hey, do you want to come see the plane? I was like, yes. So I went to like the private airport. I got to like sit on Phil's plane. Like Phil wasn't there, but like I got to be on Phil's plane, and he gave me some cups that say Air Phil on them, and they're still in my car. So I should tweet Phil and be like, hey, I don't know. Just maybe, I don't know. Maybe something with the cups would piss him off. Like he was this bitch on my plane.
That's amazing. So you'll have to update us next week if you have been blocked by Phil.
Okay.
That, you have two missions.
I have two missions. Okay. We have till like the beginning of August to get this done.
Yeah.
Fair. You give me a lot of chores, but fine, whatever.
It's for the betterment of the podcast. Do it for the pod.
And growing the game. I get it.
Growing the game. I mean, of course.
Obviously.
Women involved in the game.
We have to get more women involved in the game. And the only way we can get women involved is by tweeting about outfits. So, and in fashion, you know.
And getting blocked by Phil.
And getting blocked by Phil.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. We have best time doing these. Don't forget to leave us comments if we want to do TNA next week. So email us at PR@iHeartRadio.com, or you can send us a message on the Playing Around Instagram account. Make sure to also follow us there. Subscribe to our podcast. Leave us 5 stars. Write us a nice review. Mm-hmm. And that is all for this week. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Follow Playing Around with Paige Renee on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.